That's very funny.
You cannot minimize while you were recording this meeting. Okay, I didn't realize that audio recording effect was affected by minimizing.
Yeah, weird.
Hello and welcome to the Real Horror Show podcast. I'm your host, Samantha. Old intro. Welcome to Real Horror Show, a horror movie review podcast where we review horror movies from Netflix, Hulu, Shudder, and everything in between. I'm your host, Sam Odie.
And I am your co-host, Stormy Skies.
Welcome to our podcast. Today we will be reviewing Saw 5, which is a 2008 horror film directed by David Hackle in his directorial debut from a screenplay written by Patrick Melton, Marcus Dunstan. It is the fifth installment in the Saw film franchise and a sequel to 2007's Saw 4. The film stars Tobin Bell, Costas Mandalore, Scott Patterson, Betsy Russell, Mark Rolston, Julie Benz, Carlo Rota, and Megan Good. The plot follows Agent Strom investigating the murders committed by the Jigsaw Killer, but as he delves deeper into the case, he realizes that the murders are a part of a larger, more intricate plot. Meanwhile, Jigsaw's accomplice Mark Hoffman has been promoted to lieutenant and is tasked with leading the investigation into the Jigsaw murders. However, as Strom gets closer to the truth, he becomes the target of Jigsaw's traps.
Oh,
and this is how we like to break it down. Characters/acting, story and writing, and follow all that up with production notes. And then we like to discuss the real horrors this movie addresses. Sometimes they're serious, and sometimes we like to have a little bit of goofy fun. That being said, we are a horror movie podcast, so here is a general trigger warning. We talk about death, blood, guts, and other unsavory topics that might not be suitable for everyone, although we do try to do so with sensitivity. Listener's discretion is advised. Movies are then rated on a scale of what the fuck did I just watch, which means there are no redeeming qualities to be found. Meh, it's just okay. And oh yeah, that fucked me up, which is what all horror should strive to be. So, let's get started.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I was staring at the new intro and I just started saying what I used to say.
Yeah, anyway. That's okay. That was kind of cool.
Sometimes my brain breaks and it's fine. Off the bat, we finally have resolution for Saw 3. We know what happens to the little girl. And I'm just going to say that was not the same little girl from Saw 3.
Oh man, it wasn't.
I mean, story-wise, it's the same girl, but actress-wise, because it took us 7 years to get to the resolution.
Totally different girl. Yeah, I hear you. It was 7 years. She was in there for 7 years. Oh my god.
Ow. But I don't know. This one was so much better than Saw 4, which is frustrating because I feel like we wasted an entire movie on nothing.
Yeah, what even happened in the last movie, huh? Like, geez, it's like
the only things that mattered were revealing Mark Hoffman as Jigsaw's successor, which you could probably do here.
Yeah.
Killing Rig, again, you could probably do here. And then killing Detective Matthews, again.
Oh, yeah.
You could fit that in here.
Yeah.
Because, so my issue with Saw 4, after watching this, is the writers only cared about the twist. It felt like they were only trying to write a twist rather than a good story. And because of that, the story of Saw 4 is so unmemorable, in my humble opinion, because, you get the Hoffman reveal, but you could have done it in this movie as well, and it probably would have been cooler since the timeline isn't confusing.
Yeah, and you have that beef between him and Strom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it would be probably a bigger twist because you'd be like, oh no, Strom was right, because it is Hoffman. Yeah. Darn. The only thing I remember from 4 is that there's the autopsy. It's literally like the one standout I do remember is like that's the only thing I can recall, but it doesn't matter for the rest of the movie. So it doesn't even matter that I remember it.
Yeah. We open with the autopsy, but then it's revealed That everything after the autopsy is happening before the autopsy, and the events of Saw 4 are happening at the same time as the events of Saw 3. And
So I just get confused really easily, and I just can't figure out what the fuck is going on. Yeah.
But with the beginning of this movie, we're officially done with Jeff. We never have to talk about Jeff again.
Oh, good. Yeah, he's dead and gone for realsies this time.
We spent three movies somehow tied to the Jeff plot line. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as big in this one, but we did get the resolution to the Jeff story. And that poor little girl is probably either going to go live with her grandparents, best case scenario, or she's going into the foster system.
Yeah, she really like came out like, where's my mom? My dad was like, they are both dead. I am like,
this little girl is the most tragic character in the entire Saw franchise.
Yeah, she did not ask for this. This did not need to happen. And now both her parents are dead because of Jeff. Because of Jeff, I'm going to actually blame it on her father.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And before her parents died, her little brother died, which set them into a spiral where they were just kind of ignoring her and doing their own shit, which was drinking into oblivion and having affairs on the reg. And then because Jeff couldn't stop for 2 seconds and listen to Jigsaw, his wife is dead, and now their little girl is orphaned. So I'm glad that worked out for Jeff. I'm glad he got his revenge.
Yeah, I am too. And like, the only thing that Strom did well was just he shot that guy, and he didn't even like take a pause to shoot him. So he just got him. And I'm just like, all right, well, that's okay. Well, Jeff is finally gone. Thanks, Strom.
If I was Strom, I'd also just shoot Jeff.
And they did they show that scene again in this movie, and I was like, oh yeah, he like shoots him real fast. What is he? And he says like, hey man, put your hands up, and he doesn't. So of course you have to shoot him.
Yeah,
because he's dead.
Because at this point you don't know who Jigsaw is. You just see like five bodies and a guy standing there with a buzzsaw, and it's like, hey, put your hands up.
Yeah, and he still wouldn't do it. Like, this dude's obviously like an authority guy, but no. So yeah, okay. So that's good then. So Jeff, we can finally close the book on him. Still doesn't mean anything at all. Is not important whatsoever. And Hoffman is the big hero because he already knew where the girl was, and he carried her out in like a blanket. And I was like, oh wow, big hero time.
And so that's why I think had we just like skipped Saw 4, like that entire non-story, and gone to this,
right?
Kind of combine the two somehow, you would have had a much more impactful twist with Hoffman being the next Jigsaw, because you have one guy who thinks it, and you can still like get that mystery because he goes through the wall and the pig attacks him and puts him in the trap, and then next thing you see is Hoffman saving the little girl, and it's like, oh, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you could even sneak in the doctor lady, but you actually don't have to, like, because we don't need to like establish a whole new doctor that refused to give him like surgery.
Yeah.
Just to tie in her husband. They just so happen to have this tragic backstory, and like, but that story feels so separated from like what's going on in Jigsaw's life and the police that like, it doesn't matter compared to the story. The story is so much better. You're right.
We're going to be like at Saw 10, and I'm still going to be bitching about how we wasted Jigsaw's death with a nothing character named Jeff.
I know. It really is a shame.
And at this point, we have invested two movies into this Jeff plot line. Jeff is nothing. He doesn't mean anything to the franchise. It should have been like Detective Carey, Rigg, any of the detectives we've established in the first two movies being the ones to take out Jigsaw, because who the fuck is Jeff? And I'm not going to stop bitching about it.
Yeah, I feel like all the detectives and the police, like that's all in like the Jigsaw realm, and they're all connected. And so it would make more sense to keep them around and not just like kill them off, because like you have to show that Amanda's traps are unwinnable. You're like, whatever, like Hoffman's traps are unwinnable. Like, nah, like let them do something important. And yeah, you're right. The death is pretty much wasted with Jeff. Just sucks.
Yeah. So I guess let's go ahead and get into acting. Okay. We have most of the same players from the previous movie. The only newcomers are the people in the like in the escape hallway? Room, which I'll get to that because I did really like the trap setup in this one. So those are the only new players. We had Mark Hoffman return, Tobin Bell return. Amanda didn't return. We saw like body doubles for a lot of the characters in flashbacks.
Yeah, and then Strom was the only like major one.
Strom's the major one returning and actually like a plot driven character this time.
Yeah.
You can argue he was in Saw 4, but really he was just there to see what Rig did earlier that day.
Yeah.
He's just following someone else's path and is like, what's going on here?
Yeah, he just kind of like rolls up in 4 to like bother everybody. Everyone's like annoyed by him.
Yeah.
Like, we're taking over. We're the FBI. We're taking over now. Sorry.
But now they really gave Scott Patterson something to bite into, which is I know it's fucking Hoffman. I'm gonna prove it's Hoffman by being the sketchiest motherfucker ever.
Yeah, right. I know. He really like does some suspect things, doesn't he?
Yeah,
doesn't help him at all.
He's like, I'm gonna harass Jigsaw's wife. I'm gonna break in and steal document files, even though I could just like probably be honest with my boss.
Right. And then he is gonna tell Hoffman straight to his face he thinks it's him. Mm-hmm. Like, the fuck are you thinking? Now he's on to you.
Like, I would never do that.
No.
Like, he's already got a target on his back because Hoffman knows he's alive, so why would you tell Hoffman, I'm gonna prove it's you?
Yeah, right.
Why would you tell the Jigsaw killer?
Why would you, if you know that he's the bad guy, why would you tell the bad guy, like, hey, I'm gonna get you, man?
Yeah.
And then, like, what do you think he's gonna do? Like, be like, oh, okay, like, yeah, you got me. Cool. Yeah,
he's
like,
he's gonna say, yeah, you're good, bro.
Yeah, like, you got me. No, he's gonna fuck you up.
And I don't know if this is a performance choice of, I'm guessing, Costas. I'm guessing that's the actor. I don't have their pictures. I just have their IMDbs. Yeah. As Mark Hoffman, to constantly have like a subtle pout on his lips, or if he just has very pouty lips naturally.
He is just, I don't know if that is like he wants to look extra beautiful all the time with his luscious lips. Or if that's just how he looks. I really don't know, Sam. That's a great point because they're always super pouty. I'm like, wow, look at his mouth. It's like so nice.
As I was watching this, all I could think about were Hoffman's pouty lips. And
pouty
like,
lips.
Is he just serving in every scene?
I know. I'm like looking at this still of him. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's just, he just like looks good like that. Or yeah. Or if he's just doing it on purpose. Who can say? We'll have to look at pictures of him on like the red carpet or something. But then, like, what if he's doing it there too?
Yeah, we're just gonna have to like follow him in real life to see what he's like without the cameras.
Yeah, that would be good. Just like Strom, of course, because the FBI does it. I mean, that means it's okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling so inspired to stalk Mark Hoffman.
Mark Hoffman.
Thanks to Scott Patterson of Gilmore Girls fame.
Gilmore Girls, that's so funny.
And as for the performances in the traps with this movie's victims, I quite liked the junkie's performance. I thought he gave a very compelling, real performance.
Yeah,
and then the British guy, he was like the perfect asshole.
I know. It's so funny that he was British.
It's like, oh, you know why everybody's here? Just fucking say it, bro.
I know, bro. Just say it. And he's like, I'm an investigative journalist from the Herald. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing here? How did they get you? I still don't know, like, what exactly was tying them all together. And, like, I don't know if I, like, had left the room when it was, like, discussed. But, like, the building that, and, like, this is jumping ahead, but, like, Sam, like, do you, like, know, like, the building with the people that died in it? Like, was the building important? Like, I don't know.
So, what I gathered is it was just shady real estate, and
gotcha.
A company bought this building, but there were squatters in it, and there are they're probably in like New York City or something where there are strong squatter laws where if someone is squatting in a building for like 30 days, you cannot legally kick them out. You have, there's a lot of hoops you need to jump through.
Okay.
And so they came up with this sketchy plan to send a junkie there and have him start the fire, which would either get them out of the building or kill them. And I don't think they intended to kill them,
yeah,
but they definitely knew the squatters were there, and that's why they sent him to do it.
Gotcha. Excellent. Okay. I just always think that, like, whenever they explain something, they're like, yeah, this building, it's Jigsaw's building, you know? So I'm just waiting for that, but, like, it didn't happen. So I'm like, okay, so the building, like,
yeah,
it's just, they were just trying to get the building. Okay.
Yeah. For shady real estate deal.
Shady real estate. Okay.
As for the British guy, I can't remember what his role in that whole situation was, but
yeah,
he's just the asshole in the story.
Yeah.
Because getting into story, these five people wake up in one of Jigsaw's traps, and the British guy is into it. He knows what it is right away, and he's like, we can't start the timer until we fully assess what this situation is. Otherwise, we're going to get decapitated. And he assesses the situation. However, as we later find out, he assesses it incorrectly. And this carries on throughout the next set of traps.
Yeah.
Because the twist of their section is, in fact, I think it's the only real twist of the movie.
Yeah.
Is the traps were designed for them to work together. So that when they got to the last one, each person only had to give 2 pints of blood to open the door. They didn't have to like cut their entire arm down the middle, really just probably their hand.
Yeah.
It's still not good, but
yeah,
it wasn't supposed to be what it ended up being. So the British guy realizes there are keys they need, but he doesn't stop to think, well, what if one key opens all of these locks, which, the final girl realizes at the end of the traps is that they were supposed to work together. And I really like this concept too. It's still my favorite in the franchise thus far.
Yeah, it's different. All five could have lived.
Yep, all five could have lived. And where it's kind of hinted at it too, that they all could have lived if they worked together. The traps weren't really designed to have a solution where they work together. Like, they could be done separately. Without repercussion, but this was 100% geared towards there are five people and these tests have a solution to be solved if all five of you are working together.
Yeah, like it'll be much easier if all five participate, but
yeah,
of course they're like freaking out and killing each other and shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
So,
but that was cool and that was different. That hasn't happened before.
Yeah, and I liked this trap setup. I think it kind of refined what we saw in two, where if you just, it's an escape room. You got to sit down, think, and work together.
Exactly. Yeah.
And nobody had to die in this.
No. Yeah. But like, I feel like the only reason people like died was because like another person killed them. The trap didn't kill them. Right. Except for the first girl, her hand got cut off. But like, yeah, they like beat on that guy. The British guy, then the bomb blew him up, and then they killed the black lady with the hook thing, or whatever. Damn.
Yeah.
So,
and outside of the house or wherever they're trapped this time, Hoffman knows that Strom is onto him, so he's preparing his trap for Strom since he survived the first one, which I need to talk about this, the first trap Strom was in.
Oh yeah,
because it's been bothering.
Yeah.
It's been bothering me. I have asked medical professionals. One thinks it would work.
Yeah.
The other doesn't, because the answer is it's improbable, but not necessarily impossible.
Yeah.
Because in that situation, while it is life or death, you have to know how to suck in air, not using your mouth or your nose.
Yeah.
And also, the likelihood of giving yourself a trach with a pen, which that is possible. I know in medical emergencies, like sometimes that is what has to be done, is you use a pen to create the airway if someone's throat is closing up. I've seen it in many medical shows that is
yeah same
that is a thing that can
just the
happen,
way
and it does work.
Yeah. But
But I don't know. I feel like he still would have drowned.
Like, also with that, how long did it take for them to get the cage off his head? Because he
was the
like
real
out
question.
Because he was out the door at the same time that like Mark was. Like Mark Hoffman's was like, damn, like they like fucking ripped it off his head or something, didn't they?
I think that's the real question, is how did they get that off his head without like drowning him? Because because like, okay, so you're holding your nose without holding your nose, you're holding your breath in your mouth, you're sucking in air the way you do in that situation.
Yeah.
But then they're trying to get the thing off your head. So
don't they need to call like people, like special, like the fire department to like get big.
I feel like that's a Jaws of Life situation. I don't think Hoffman would have just left a key there for them to use.
I know, right? Because that was meant to kill him. That was an unwinnable trap, but it was supposed to like look like a trap that he could have won. But like, of course, no.
Yeah.
Also, could he have done that thing with his throat without like a mirror? I was like, dang, dude, like you just must know where you're aiming.
That's true. He also just knows like where it needs to go. I guess it needs to go at the bottom of your throat. I don't know.
Just like the base.
Because your throat is like very stiff. Like there's a lot of cartilage right here that you have to get through with a dull pen case.
Oh, God.
So I don't know. I'm just saying some things in this franchise are hard to believe.
That would be tough. Also, I wonder if you know how at the end when they have to like cut their arm with the saw and the dude cuts his like arm like all the way up, like I know that like a lot of blood would be coming out, but like would you get enough blood just from your arm, you think? Like 10 pints, like I guess that's a lot.
I mean, they only needed 5 pints each.
Okay, yeah, so 5 each.
And there are main arteries in your wrist, right? Like, that's why.
Yeah, right? Yeah, okay.
Trigger warning, suicide. If you're going to kill yourself, that's why you slit your wrist.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
The main arteries.
Damn. Okay, well, then I guess you would get that much blood. Okay, yeah, and everything else, I suppose.
And they cut up to their elbows.
Oh, my God. So. I know. Jesus Christ. Ugh.
So yeah, Strom is hunting down Hoffman, not hunting down, but just trying to collect enough evidence to prove that Hoffman is taking over Jigsaw's legacy. And in the process, we find out that Hoffman's sister was beaten to death by an abusive boyfriend.
I totally forgot about all this. And I totally forgot that this was like Mark Hoffman's initiation movie, which excites me.
And so I think this is probably when I went to the bathroom, but I think what it was Hoffman killed the abusive boyfriend and made it look like a Jigsaw murder. Or he didn't even try
trap.
He didn't even try to like make it look like a Jigsaw murder. He just like cut the Jigsaw piece into the person. And that pissed off John Kramer, who finds Hoffman and says, "I don't murder. What I do is much different than murder. It's murder, but they have an opportunity to live if they care about their lives."
Yeah. And he was like, "Your stuff was inferior to mine. Blah, blah, blah. You suck."
Yeah.
He's like, I think that imitation is a form of flattery, but I find it distasteful because your stuff sucked.
And so he has the shotgun at Hoffman's face and is challenging Hoffman to pull the trigger, and Hoffman does, but there's no bullet in the chamber.
Got him.
But that one moment proved to John Kramer that maybe Hoffman has it in him to take over.
He has what it takes to be his second in command, because he's so big.
Yeah.
Pouty lips. So pretty, and he's a cop.
So they start working together, and we find out through these flashbacks that Hoffman's been helping set up these traps since the very beginning. We see the
all the failed razor ones,
the razor trap from the first movie.
Yeah, he's the big guy.
John Kramer can be insufferable with his philosophy sometimes.
I know, he's like
You cut yourself, so I'm going to make you value your life by making you cut yourself.
He barely cut himself with like the bottle. I think he was just in a bad space at that moment. It was like he was like a suicidal dude for his whole life. I feel like that just wasn't, I feel like there was just one moment in this man's life. He did not deserve that, you know?
You play sick from work, so I'm going to cover you in oil and make you walk on shards of glass. And here's a candle. Don't set yourself on fire.
Yeah, he's like, you smoked cigarette once. I saw it. So if you love cigarettes so much, I'm going to turn you into a cigarette. Smoke you. You're like, wow, dude, chill. There's just no one doing bad stuff at the time, Sam.
So we see, you know, John Kramer taking Mark Hoffman under his wing, and Amanda doesn't know that Hoffman is under his wing, but Hoffman knows Amanda is under his wing, and he's like, why are you letting her like lead the charge on this? And he's like, she's not going to help them. She's just going to point them in the right direction. And we see them setting up the traps in Saw 2, like the key trap with the gun.
How cool.
And that, you know, John Kramer needed a big guy to carry all these people in and set up the traps because he is very feeble and has cancer.
Yes.
And again, I'm going to keep bringing this up with Saw 10 and Saw 11, which is probably going to be a direct sequel to Saw 10. We have a very finite amount of time with John Kramer in the canon. Like, you can't just keep adding stuff that he's doing into this canon.
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
I'm pretty sure he only had like 5 or 6 months to live.
Yeah.
That was established at least in Saw 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Saw 10 at the beginning. He has like 3 months left of that, 5 to 6 months. And just a finite amount of time that he trains Hoffman, trains Amanda, builds all these traps, divorces his wife.
Yeah, and that's why he has all these traps happening at the same time too.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Maybe Saw 10 is fixing this and why everything is happening at the same time, actually.
Yeah, maybe. Because
we do. We just have this finite amount of time where it is actually John Kramer setting these traps, creating these traps. He's the one in charge. It's not just his legacy that people are trying to continue.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, Strom is stalking Jill Tuck, and she puts in a complaint about it, which tips off Strom's boss, who's like, oh, Strom is fucking losing it after surviving his jigsaw trap. I guess we should keep a close eye on him.
Yeah, Bluetooth man.
And finally, Strom finds like where the current test is going on, or he finds some room that tests are going on, and he confronts Hoffman in this room. There's a trap, a box filled with glass, and he starts listening to the cassette, doesn't listen to the cassette, finish the cassette. He shoves Hoffman in the box, and Hoffman's trapped, and he's very smug because the door locks automatically, and he tells Strom to finish the tape, and it's the same tape from the beginning where Jigsaw repeats, if you choose this path, it'll lead to your death.
Yeah.
And really all he had to do was drop it and he wouldn't be dead right now.
Right. Yes.
And the walls of this room start closing in, and Hoffman's little glass coffin sinks into a safety hole.
Yep.
And we see Strom get a nice compound fracture as he is slowly squashed to death.
Yep. Rest in peace, Strom. You fucked around and you found out, buddy.
Yep. And even had he survived that trap, we find out his boss finds the survivors of the main trap that was going on, the B-plot trap.
Yeah.
And he sees that, he puts the pieces together. Oh, Strom is the jigsaw killer. He's lost his shit altogether.
Yeah, Hoffman puts his Strom's like phone there, and he like frames him for everything. And he's like, "Oh, this phone being here obviously means Strom did everything because he's been acting so suspect lately."
Yeah, so Hoffman had a backup plan all along that if somehow Strom survived, he would be going down for the Jigsaw killings or
Yeah, geez,
the
Hoffman was just
imitation killings.
10 steps ahead of Strom this whole time. Mr. FBI, like, totally sucked.
Which
Damn.
it makes me sad that Amanda was never Jigsaw's true successor. I feel like that was very mean to her. But Hoffman is a pretty good follow-up.
Oh,
I mean, he doesn't get the philosophy. He uses these traps as punishment and only punishment, not a if you value your life, if you care about your life, you're going to survive.
Yeah, no redemption, just punishment because he's a that kind of a guy.
Yeah, he's a cop, and when I say ACAB, that includes Hoffman.
Hoffman, yes.
I want to see
he's a very bad cop.
Hoffman's body cam footage.
Ooh, yeah, but I bet you he doesn't even wear it.
Oh
Bet
yeah,
you.
he's definitely the kind to just turn it off if like.
Yep, because he got like promoted at the beginning of the movie, so I'm like, oh, he can like do special stuff and have special privileges. But he did tell Jigsaw, he was like, hey, Amanda will fail you, and that was in like the plot for three. Yeah, and he's like, no, no, she won't. And he's like, yeah, she will. The fuck. Does at that time does Hoffman like have put something in a drawer, like the manila envelope, like he's handed stuff and he collects all the people, but Hoffman knows that Amanda was gonna let her emotions get the best of her, fuck
Yeah,
shit
he
up.
did. And I think he saw that John Kramer had a soft spot for Amanda and that John Kramer was letting his emotions get the best of him too. Or at least Hoffman thought it was all just a trap for Amanda at the end of Saw 3.
Yes, it was.
It was her final test to see if she was actually worthy of
Yeah, she
being
failed.
his. But like, what if she was? Would he then say, actually, you're not working alone. This is my good friend Mark Hoffman.
Yeah, this is a cop. I mean, I bet you're wondering how I get all these people in here without your help. I mean, it's not me, Amanda. Yeah, so they could have been buds, but I think it's safe to say that, like, without any spoilers, that we kind of explore that a little bit more in the upcoming movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know the believability of these traps is just going to get worse. I know what happens at the start of Saw 3D with the traps set up in the middle of the day, in the middle of a busy street in
Storefront,
storefront.
yeah. Yeah, and everyone's just chilling, like, and they're like videoing, and they're like, "Don't video, call the police." Yeah, 3D is wild. I think that's Saw 6,
Oh, so it's
7,
coming up.
5. Is it 5? I like literally
We
Googled
just
this yesterday,
watched
Sam.
five.
Okay, no, it's not this one then. I think it's like coming in like a movie or two is Saw 3D.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the story in a nutshell. Jill Tuck is back, but it's really just part of the setup for Strom. We don't get any more Jigsaw specific background. We just get how Hoffman got pulled into this whole situation.
Okay. Yeah, we do. And Saw 7 is, or AKA Saw the Final Chapter, is Saw 3D.
Okay.
And then
Yeah.
we have
Why does a movie
Spiral.
need three different titles?
I don't know. Then we have Jigsaw, then Spiral, then. I know there are literally three different titles because it's Saw 7, but it's called Saw the Final Chapter, but it's actually Saw 3D. It's a little confusing on the brain, but yeah. Okay, anyway.
All
Sorry about
right.
that. Yeah.
So I've got a couple of production notes just going into Saw 5.
Ooh.
So this is the first time since the first film that Boseman was not the director.
Yeah.
Stepping into the role was David Hackel, and this was his directorial debut. However, he was not new to the franchise. He was a production designer for Saw 2, 3, and 4, and then a second unit director for Saw 3 and 4.
Ooh.
And I think the production quality of this one is so much better than four.
Yeah, agreed.
Just, I mean, even looking at it, not just dissecting the story and how it doesn't work,
Yeah,
it
just looks
looks
better.
better. They didn't go heavy-handed on the transitions, which,
yeah, thank goodness there's like none.
Yeah, speaking of transitions, I just want to shout out, he'll never listen. I don't even know if he's on the internet anymore. He hasn't uploaded a YouTube video in 15 years, but while I was putting together TikToks this week, I was like, I wonder if there's just like some clips of the transitions in Saw.
And you found them?
This one guy, Dave Rainbow Six, uploaded a compilation of all the transitions 15 years ago to YouTube.
Oh my God, so, I have to watch it.
So shout funny. Out. Shout out to Dave Rainbow Six for putting that together so I could use it for my TikTok.
Yes, that is awesome.
Because that was just great. And I'm glad that people have been talking about the unnecessary transitions for 15 years.
Dude,
that it's been 15 years since Saw 4 even. That's fucking insane.
It is insane, dude.
Pre-production for this began in 2007. So like immediately after Saw 4, probably. In fact, probably even before Saw 4 released.
Cool.
And they only had about a month to get the script done. Hackle wanted to bring a more emotional element to the script so the audience could really care about the characters. And I agree. And I think he did a better job than with Saw 3 and then continuing into Saw 4, because I did think the plot with the people going through the traps was very compelling, because we didn't know what brought them all together. We just know that they all combined did something bad, but none of them know the individual roles each person played in the crime they committed.
Yeah, that is very interesting and very unique.
And just the characters were better written, better developed.
Yeah.
Like, even though we had been with Rig since the first one, in 5 movies, I'm probably not going to be able to tell you who Rig was.
Right, yeah.
I could barely do it in Saw 4. I guess he was in the previous 3 films.
Yeah, he was just like a SWAT guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. And he was just like in the trio. It was like Rig, Carrie, and then Eric.
Yeah.
Matthews.
And I don't have any notes on why Bosman didn't return, but just after Saw 4 and how messy it was and convoluted it was, just trying to get to that, big twist, this is happening at the same time as the last movie.
Yeah, geez, it was exhausting to learn that.
I'm glad he took a break in that we got a fresh set of eyes behind the camera directing, because this one was just so much better to get through. As a movie,
definitely. It was
it was good. And a very interesting note that just blew my mind, that these two movies came out at the same time. Saw 5 was released on October 24th, 2008, my freshman year of high school. In its opening weekend, Saw 5 grossed over $30 million in 3,000 theaters across the United States and Canada, ranking number 2 at the box office. Can you guess what the number 1 film of that year was, or that weekend was?
2008? I have no idea. What was it?
High School Musical 3, Senior Year.
What the fuck?
I know.
Oh, and Saw was so close to beating that out, man.
Not really. High School Musical 3 grossed over $56 million.
Oh my God.
And that
okay,
is...
never mind.
That is so crazy to me, because I went to see High School Musical 3 in theaters. It was a great experience. Highly recommend.
Damn, but we didn't see Saw 5. Instead, you saw High School Musical.
I was 14. They wouldn't have sold me a ticket to Saw 5.
No,
and I didn't really care for the Saw movies back then.
Right. Hey, I'm on IMDb, and like the trailer keeps playing. The trailer's like pretty cool, so I can see how this could bring a lot of people out.
Yeah, cool. And it's just... I think that's so interesting that High School Musical beat it out, because October 24th, that would have been Halloween weekend.
Yeah, like this, it says like this Halloween in the trailer. It says this Halloween belongs to Saw 5.
So the fact that a horror movie, not even just the fifth Saw installment, came in second on Halloween weekend is so crazy. And I mean, I guess I could kind of get it, since Saw 4 was so not good and we're in the fifth installment, that maybe the hype had just died down and a lot of people were like, I'll just wait and see if it's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 2008, people were still flocking to the theaters on weekends. It's like, I miss that time where there were still lines at the box office, like just out the door to see the new releases. So people were going to see movies. It's not like now where they keep trying to get people back into theaters by releasing blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster. People don't have the money for that, but they could.
Right.
They did in 2008, kind of, I guess, recession,
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Still, that the fact that any horror movie wasn't number one Halloween weekend is so crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. It's just interesting that they had High School Musical come out for Halloween too. I guess there was just way more young kids available to go to the movies, which makes
And I think
sense.
it makes sense, and it's a reminder of just what a cultural behemoth the High School Musical franchise was,
It
and
does,
the
doesn't it?
lasting impact that it has had on our culture.
Absolutely. And I've never seen those movies, but like I know that they're popular. Like I know how popular they became. Even working at Hot Topic, it was a thing, you know, no matter what.
It gave us, I mean, I guess it didn't really give us Zac Efron. He was doing stuff before it, but it gave us Zac Efron.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? It absolutely put him on the map, huh? We should look into like what was in the box office for like the other Saw movies.
Yeah, because I think that's a really interesting fact that High School Musical beat Saw on Halloween weekend.
I know. How about that? That made me pissed, but like looking back at it, like it's kind of funny. Saw 5, because like the fifth movie in a franchise that can like really like some people might not like care to even go watch it, you know what I mean? So I can kind of see
especially with how quickly they were releasing these movies year after year after year, like bam bam bam, since 2004, I could totally see franchise fatigue. Especially, you know, at this point, Saw has had the same longevity as Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, just other horror franchises that have had 7 to 8 sequels. And you do see this franchise fatigue happen with them, where, you know, the quality of the movie continues to go down. We saw that with 4, how just not well done it was. And people just kind of stop caring, you know, the people who saw 1 in theaters in 2004 have jobs now and might not give a shit anymore. It's like, oh, what else are they gonna do?
Right, exactly. Oh man.
Yeah, just a fun fact. Other production notes I had, just this movie looked and was better paced than Saw 4.
Oh, it definitely was. I feel like Saw 4 was like super clunky, and just like the way they tried to fit in that like different time, the two different timelines, it just didn't work. It just made us more confused.
Yeah, and it just felt very crowded. Like, it felt like they only wrote it around the idea of this twist, but also to kill the remaining players from the first trilogy, like Rig and Detective Matthews and Jeff. You know, Jeff, the most iconic character in the Saw franchise. But you didn't need to like completely reset the board. You could have not brought Detective Matthews back just yet. You could have waited, because like, I can't believe Donnie Wahlberg even did that role in that movie, because it was nothing. He was just on a block of ice for an hour and a half.
Yeah, maybe he just love either he loves horror and Saw, or he like just needed money. Or both.
Maybe.
You know, because he's not Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he's not Marky Mark.
Damn, no. How do you do that? It's crazy.
But yeah, no. One other thing I noticed was the soundtrack, the soundtrack CD got a 7.9 out of 10 on IGM because of the cohesion, and the tracks have a unifying dark undercurrent that makes for an electric, shocked, jolting mixtape with a dark intent. And I agree. Saw always has a pretty solid soundtrack.
It does. The songs are badass.
If nothing else, it has a solid soundtrack that just you hear it
And you're just like, oh
and
shit.
you know it's Saw. Like,
Yeah, you like strap yourself and you're like, okay,
like
gonna transport you.
that's your first challenge when trying to create an iconic horror franchise is giving them a theme song, something that people are just going to recognize.
Oh yeah. And then when you and when it's so good that you can just easily use it over and over and tweak it a little bit. Oh my so
Yeah.
cool. So cool. It makes the twist cooler, even if the twist is like kind of lame. You're like, oh,
Yeah.
well, at least I'm listening to the
Because
cool song.
once Hello Zepp starts up,
Yep.
you
Oh
know you're
yeah.
in for a ride.
You're like, oh, what I miss? Here comes the crazy twist. Was I paying attention? You're like, oh shit. So
Yeah.
I hope that in the upcoming movies, like that happens again for you, at least in one movie, Sam, where you're like, oh shit, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember, but hopefully there's at least one more.
Yeah.
One more good one.
But yeah, compared to Saw 4, which I charitably
Yeah.
gave a meh, I believe. I do
Yeah.
think this one is an oh yeah, that fucked me up. It
Oh,
had
great.
a good twist. I liked the plot with the people trapped. They didn't try
Yeah.
and make it like deeper than it was. It was just a compelling story with just them. And then
Yeah.
you also had Strom setting up his own demise. And the squashing was good. If not
Yeah,
a
I
little,
just, yeah.
hard to believe, but still, the
It's
squashing was
crazy.
good.
The squashing was good. It's just Strom. I feel like when he like his friend got injured or died, like the girl, he just like went off the rails. But like, why? Like, dude,
Yeah.
chill. Anyway.
Just relax. Collect your evidence after your bereavement.
Dude, seriously, like you could get yourself killed. You'd literally tell the killer that I know it's you. What are you the heck, man? Oh God. All right. I'm
But yeah,
so glad
no.
that you graded it that way, Sam. Awesome. I'm glad that the fifth one was better than the fourth one. That rarely happens.
Yeah. No, I thought this one was really good.
Nice. Sweet. Well, I agree. I'm going to also rate it an oh yeah, that fucked me up. And like I was waiting. I wasn't sure what movie it was gonna be where we saw a whole lot of Hoffman, but I was like, yes, this is Hoffman's intro. So I was like, yay, love to watch
His
him.
little moment.
I know. He's great. I wish he was in more stuff, but I feel like no one really picks up on him.
Yeah.
So yeah, but anyway, the real horror of the movie would be I feel like the plot you described for these five strangers and like just doing shady real estate stuff just to like get a hold of buildings and like getting rid of people at any cost. So, you know, who knows how often that could really be happening? I don't know.
I think it happens very
Often.
frequently in
Oh
human
yeah.
history.
Dang, yeah. So there's that. Well, this is an interesting thing with Hoffman, is that like he has no wife or girlfriend, but he had a sister that he loved so much. And then she died in like it seems like a pretty like horrific way. I think it was sort of like a sex crime or something like that. But like wanting to kill someone so much that you like do a copycat thing and you like build a pit and a pendulum thing. So it's wild.
Yeah.
Being like an FBI agent who is like being really sloppy because you're upset because your partner like died. I suppose that could happen. I don't. Oh, here's like something that we didn't mention is that Jill receives a box and a video from John with stuff inside. So like still having like an emotional connection to your ex-husband, although he was a killer, but you still really loved him before. What he was before, and getting a mysterious box because we don't know what's in it yet.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing else. Nothing really else realistic
Yeah.
happens,
No, nothing super
honestly.
realistic. I guess
Yeah,
having to
dude.
give yourself a tracheotomy with
Oh
a
my
pen.
God. Being a child and having both of your parents die because it's their like for their
Their own
own
fault.
faults. Yeah, and then be like, uh-oh, my parents are dead. And now what? So maybe that.
Yeah.
And that's that. So that's all. Not a whole lot outside of the two main plots here, two main storylines.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts before I wrap it up?
I don't think so.
All right, cool. Oh, yeah, that fucked me up. Yay, Saw 5. Next, Saw 6. Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in for our episode. We are the Real Horror Show podcast. Our host is Sam Odie, and I'm the co-host, Stormy Skies. The podcast was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed, edited, and produced by Sam Odie. You can find Sam on Instagram at SamIsWritingStuff. And you can find Stormy on Instagram at TheStormySkies. You can find the Real Horror Show podcast on Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes, Google Play Store, Pandora, and anywhere you like to stream your podcasts. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you're always in the know when a new episode comes out. Follow us on social media. You can find the Real Horror Show podcast on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Facebook, and yes, Twitter too. We do more than just podcasts. We love to write and have plenty of great movie reviews and essays, all of which can be found on our website, realhorrorshow.com. We love hearing from our listeners. You can ask us a question or send us a movie request to review by DMing us on social media, or you can even send us an email at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Call for guests. Do you love horror movies? Are you a podcaster, a content creator, a movie lover, or anyone in between who is a listener to our show? We would love to have you as a guest on one of our episodes. Reach out to us via social media DM or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Our podcast episodes featuring guests are all listed on our website, realhorrorshow.com. We are so thankful for all of our listeners. You are the life force of our podcast, and we wouldn't really exist without you. Thank you all for making this podcast real and supporting us as we record every week. You can support us in different ways, such as liking and sharing our podcast episodes on social media. Giving us a review will help the podcast more than you know, and will help other listeners find it too. You can also donate to Real Horror Show by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal, buy us a coffee with the Buy Us a Coffee button, or explore our very interesting Amazon wish list. Any other pertinent news?
I don't think so this week.
All right, cool. Yeah. In the meantime, watch the next episode of The Fall of the House of Usher, which is, I think, episode 6.
I think it's Telltale Heart time.
Yeah, Telltale Heart, whatever's after the Black Cat episode. Watch that one. So that'll be fun.
Read the corresponding Edgar Allan Poe story.
Yeah, I've not been reading at all. I'm just going off of memory.
It's fine.
Straight up, I feel like we've read this so much in our youth, I might not even have to reread it.
Like Telltale Heart, oh yeah, like
hell yeah,
The Raven and Telltale Heart.
Dude, yep. I just those are know.
Yeah,
classics. And then when you're done doing that, go ahead and watch Saw 6. Yeah, we're moving right along.
Heck cool. Yeah.
We're going pretty fast. So anyway, our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Coulton, and he can be found at jonathancoulton.com. Thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening. This is Real Horror Show signing off.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I love the creepy doll that always follows.